Translation. When caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. Sorry. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying. His tears were mixing with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by the hand, mildly began to chastise him. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. From these dealings between Mother Yashoda and Krishna, we can understand the exalted position of a pure devotee in loving service to the Lord. Yogis, jnanis, karmis, and Vedantas cannot even approach Krishna. They must remain very, very far away from him and try to enter his bodily effulgence, although this also they are unable to do. Great demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva always worship the Lord by meditation and by service. Even the most powerful Yamaraj fears Krishna. Therefore, as we find in the history of Ajamil, Yamaraj instructed his followers not even to approach the devotees, what to speak of capturing them. In other words, Yamaraj also fears Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Yet, this Krishna became so dependent on Mother Yashoda that when she simply showed Krishna the stick in her hand, Krishna admitted to being an offender and began to cry like an ordinary child. Mother Yashoda, of course, did not want to chastise her beloved child very much, and therefore she immediately threw her stick away and simply rebuked Krishna, saying, "Now I shall bind you so that you cannot commit any further offensive activities. Nor, for this time being, you can play with your playmates." This shows the position of a pure devotee, in contrast with others, like jnanis, yogis, and followers of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, in regarding the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth. Gritagasam tam parudhantam akshini kashantam agyan manisi swapanina udvikshamanam baya vivalekshanam haste grihitva visayantya vagurat. When caught by Mother Yashoda, Krishna became more and more afraid and admitted to being an offender. As she looked upon him, she saw that he was crying. His tears mixed with the black ointment around his eyes. And as he rubbed his eyes with his hands, he smeared the ointment all over his face. Mother Yashoda, catching her beautiful son by his hand, mildly began to chastise him. Omagamit turanda shagrandana shlakaya chakshuran militam dina tasmai shri gurvena maha shri chaitanya manobhistam stapitam janabhutale swayam upadamayam dadati swapadantikam jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhunachananda shri dvaita gadadhar shivasadi gaur bhaktivinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 ram 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 hare hare. Okay, now everybody put your hands up like this and send the blessings. Okay? Otherwise, I'm going to fall asleep because I have no idea what I'm going to say today. No idea whatsoever. You know, there's gyan and there's vigyan. Gyan means knowledge. And vigyan means realized knowledge. Old devotee friend of mine used to say, in regard to Prabhupada's books, you must realize all these things. Not just theorize. Krishna consciousness is not a theory. It's not like necessarily a course we take when we go to university. Although Srila Prabhupada did arrange that, didn't he? What's it called? Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti, what's the next one? Bhakti Sarvabhuma, no, Bhakti Vaibhava, and then Bhakti Sarvabhuma. Why did Prabhupada arrange that? To keep our noses in his books. To keep us out of trouble. To keep us fixed on Krishna. But where's that knowledge meant to, what's the purpose of all this knowledge? Where are we going? Where's all this going? Where are we going with all this? Tattva is meant to lead to Ras. We hear so much about Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu and all that, hearing and chanting about Krishna. But better than hearing about Krishna, better than talking about Krishna, superior to all that is talking to Krishna. being able to sit down and actually have a conversation with him. That's where all this is leading. I was telling some people the other night that sometimes people come to the temple and they say, oh, your statues are very beautiful. No, not statues. Krishna is there. That's not statue, it's Murti. Krishna is actually present. How do we invoke that presence? If we treat Krishna like a statue, then for us, he's always going to be a statue. If we actually treat him like a real person, then he'll manifest as a person. You know, it's the same with the deity of Srila Prabhupada. We can go to him and we can say, how was your day? How are you feeling? That's personalism, you know. Prabhupada emphasized that. My godbrother Hari Sari was saying in one of those, I think it was the, I don't know if it was Your Ever Well Wisher, one of those DVDs. He said, it's not that Srila Prabhupada told us, do this, do that, do this, do that, and then sat back and did nothing. He said, he did much more for us than we ever did for him. He said, and all he wanted was for us to reciprocate the same love he gave to us. What was he teaching us? Acharya means teacher by example. It means he was teaching us how to love Krishna. This is the pure devotee. So here Srila Prabhupada says, from these dealings with Mother Yashoda and Krishna, we can understand the exalted position of a pure devotee in loving service to the Lord. What is that exalted position? Srila Prabhupada gave us a hint. Many years ago, he said, Krishna has come to be touched by you, to be dressed by you, to be fed by you. You know, the pujaris, six times a day, you know, this is really kind of ironic. You think about it, Krishna's a cheater, he's a liar, he's a thief. But what do? We give him a place to live and we feed him six times a day. You know, it's kind of outrageous if you really think about it. But what are all these rules and regulations meant for? What's it called? Vidhi Marg, isn't it? Yeah. Do it like this, do it like that, be on time, be clean, be that. What are we supposed to learn from all that? That God is a person. Krishna's a real person, a real living person, and we can have a real relationship with him. What does Krishna want? You know, Krishna sees that as an intermediate step. What Krishna really wants is to be able to sit down and have a chat. That's a fact. You know, as we're sitting here, we're talking to each other right now. That's actually what Krishna wants. That's what he would prefer. Personalism. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada mentions here the yogis, the gyanis, right? The karmis. Krishna bhakta nishkam ata eva shanta bhukti mukti siddhikami sakali ashanta. Who is peaceful? Only devotee can be peaceful. But we have to understand what that means. Pure devotee. If we study Srila Prabhupada's books very carefully, what does he say? Do like this, do like that, don't do like this, don't do like that. A devotee does this, a devotee doesn't do that. A devotee thinks like this, a devotee thinks like that. A devotee says this, a devotee says that. What's he talking about? Every page of every one of Prabhupada's books, he's referring to the behavior of a pure devotee. Not just any devotee, but a pure devotee. A pure devotee automatically rises by 4 o'clock in the morning. A pure devotee doesn't even have to sleep. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, regulation, eating, sleeping, working, and playing. Pure devotees automatically regulated. Why? Because they're completely absorbed in Krishna. Srila Prabhupada was here walking amongst us, but at the same time, he was engaged in his ras with the Supreme Lord. I remember not too long ago, I sent a photo of Srila Prabhupada to a work colleague of mine. And now this person is not devotee per se, not even a vegetarian. Although I brought them to the temple a couple times, they really never got interested. And when I sent them this photo of Prabhupada, and this person is actually from a Christian background, she texted me back and she said, his eyes say you can trust me. Krishna can speak with his eyes, so can the pure devotee. The eyes are the window to the soul, are they not? Our eyes speak volumes, but our tongue tries to edit it. Isn't it? What the eye reveals, the tongue tries to conceal. It tries to hide. But with Srila Prabhupada, it wasn't like that. Prabhupada spoke with his eyes. You know, every morning we pray this Sri Guru Vandana. In my humble opinion, I think that's one of the most important prayers or meditations the devotees have in their entire lives. In there it says, Chakudan Dilaje Janme Janme Prabhuse. He is my Lord, birth after birth. So the devotees asked Prabhupada years ago, they said, is it really true that if we don't become Krishna conscious, you'll have to come back and get us? Prabhupada said, yes, so please behave nicely so that I don't have to come back. You know how I know this is true? The way I know this is true is because 1970 is the first time I ever met the devotees, and then about 3 years went by, and I didn't see them anywhere. 3 years of pure hell. I think I was being prepared to meet the pure devotee. 1973, the devotees invited me to go to New York with them to meet Srila Prabhupada. The way they phrased it was, would you like to meet the guru, you know? And I had even no idea what a guru was. So I said, okay. So they said, be at the temple tomorrow morning by 4 o'clock. I said, you mean 4 o'clock in the afternoon? They said, no, 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, all right, I'll see what I can do. So I set my alarm for 3 and got to the temple on time. We drove up to New York from Philadelphia, and we were all packed in the temple room. And there was this tremendous buzz in the air, you know, and nobody could figure out what it was. The senior devotees all knew what it was. I had no idea. All I knew was, you know, there was a really unusual atmosphere, and it felt really good. So everybody was watching this one particular door on the side of the temple room. And I said to the devotee, why is everybody watching that door? He said, because Prabhupada's about to walk through that door. So 7:05, Prabhupada came down for greeting the deities. She, Radha Govinda, exquisitely beautiful deities. Krishna's black, she's whitish. And when Prabhupada walked in, you know, Chakudan Dilaje Janme Janme Prabhuse, his eyes and my eyes just met briefly, as I'm sure with everyone else. As soon as I looked in Prabhupada's eyes, I thought to myself, I know you. It was the biggest deja vu I ever had in my life. I know you. Not that self-same body, but I knew that vibration. I knew that feeling, you know. Was that from many years ago? It seems we've stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I just can't remember where or when. I knew him. I knew who he was immediately. I knew this is my eternal teacher. When I looked at Prabhupada, when he first walked in the room, it was like looking into eternity. It was like looking at infinity, you know. And we were just like a vortex. We were just pulled right into it. It was like, you know, flying through outer space with no hindrances, you know. And then later I understood what it meant to some degree, to be a liberated soul. There standing before us was the living proof that Krishna is a real person and that we can have a relationship with him. Because Prabhupada was absorbed in that, completely absorbed. We are eternal by nature. Recently, I had to go to the hospital. I had to go to A&E at Barnet, which is a really depressing place, you know. You've got to wait for, you know, ages to get seen because it's all the people in there with the bee stings and splinters and all that stuff. And I was thinking to myself something that Prabhupada had said. He said, it is not the hospital, it is not the doctor, it is not the medicine, but it is Krishna to do everything. And I'm thinking to myself, why are hospitals here? My mind was buzzing around and around and around. Then all of a sudden it occurred to me, the soul is eternal. Therefore nobody wants to die, hence the existence of hospitals. Because everybody's thinking, oh, I have to protect this body. I want to stay alive. I don't want to die. But the fact of the matter is, we're already eternal. We're already eternal. Where is the spiritual sky? Where is Krishna? Where is Vrajadham? It's in our heart. Simply, it has to be uncovered. We read in Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Na Sochati Na Kanchati, Samasurveshu Bhuteshu, Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. One night, about a year or two ago, I was attending the Bhagavad Gita class here. Somebody else was giving the class, not me. And the question came up about what is this Brahma Bhuta? What is this position of liberation from the material body? And somebody inquired, they said, what does a liberated soul see? And I said, well, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to be there. You have to go there. You know, it's like years ago, somebody asked Prabhupada, they said, how many pure devotees are there on this planet? And Prabhupada said, there are many, but not so many. He said, why don't you become one? So when Prabhupada says, why don't you become one, what does that mean? It means it's possible. Prabhupada gave a series of lectures in Australia back in the early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. And somebody in the crowd asked, is it true that someone can go back to Godhead in one lifetime? And Prabhupada jumped forward and he said, 1 minute! He said, you are not reading Bhagavad Gita? 1 minute! You know? So Krishna confirms it in Bhagavad Gita. Yesham twantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Those persons who have acted piously in this life and in previous lives and whose sinful reactions are completely eradicated can take to my devotional service with determination, dridhavrata. Sometimes we meet in the course of our activities devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement who are just clearly waving goodbye. This is their last life. It's so obvious. We become envious, you know. We think, oh, what's his qualification? What's her qualification? But after many, many lifetimes, what does Krishna say? Bahunam janmanamante, gyanavam mam prapadyante, vasudeva savamiti, samahatma sudurlaba. After many births and deaths, many, one who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. So what is our goal? Is not to become karmi, not to become gyani, not to become yogi, but to enter into a personal relationship with Krishna. Where does it begin? Sambandha. We have to make that relationship. We have to make that connection. And from that connection comes what? Abhideya. We begin to render service. And from that rendering of service, an attachment develops. And in the end, what comes? Prayojan. Pure love. That's why we're here. That's what we're here for. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. This movement is actually, if you think about it, it's the causeless mercy of Srimati Radharani. Why? Because she is Radha Rani, the queen of devotion. Her service is the best. And Krishna wants to taste that service, but he can't do it by himself. So he combines with her and appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's the Krishna consciousness movement. Krishna comes primarily to find out what is the mood of Radharani. So if it wasn't for her being such a good servant, none of us would be here now, and the Krishna consciousness movement wouldn't be here. This movement is Radha Kripa. It's a manifestation of her mercy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as the most magnanimous avatar because he is giving what no other avatar has ever given. What's he giving? Vraj Prem. That's the highest thing of all. Krishna, who is the Sri Vrajendra Nandan Sri Krishna and Srimati Radhika, they combine together and appear as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why does Mahaprabhu come? He comes to answer the call of Sri Advaita Acharya, to establish the Yuga Dharma, to preach the glories of chanting the holy name, to bestow Vraj Prem on the Jivas, and to taste the moods of Srimati Radhika. We are here now because of her. In the Vaishnav system, Radha is actually more important than Krishna. She's the boss. What do they say? Behind every great man is a great woman. Begins in the spiritual world. Whatever she will order, Krishna must do. If he doesn't, he'll be in big trouble. But we are all here now because of her. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering every soul in the human form of life an opportunity to obtain Ras. So at some point we have to go beyond Gyan. In the beginning, Krishna consciousness may seem like some kind of a, you know, university course. We learn this, we learn that, do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But that's a stepping stone. We have to understand that Srila Prabhupada's books are divinely inspired. He said it himself. He said, I didn't write these books. Krishna wrote these books. And the proof of that is, many years ago, the devotees weren't quite sure how to manage the Krishna consciousness movement. So they kept going to Srila Prabhupada and saying, how do we do this? How do we do that? What do we do about this? What do we do about that? And finally, Srila Prabhupada said, will you please learn how to manage this society? My main service is translating these books, and I must choose every word very soberly. What does that mean? What he meant was, if you continually come and ask me all these managerial questions, I won't be able to hear the super soul. You'll interrupt my connection with the super soul. Because every word is coming from Paramatma. Every word in Prabhupada's books is coming from Paramatma. Where are these books pointing? From the most, you know, basic to the most complex. They're all pointing in the same direction, as we mentioned earlier, to Ras. And that's what we want. Lately, you know, we've been reading about Mother Yashoda, that Krishna makes it clear to her that her first business is to let him suck her breast. And while she's doing that, while he's doing that, the milk boils over. So Mother Yashoda puts him down and to attend to the milk, and Krishna becomes angry. You know, when these young kids come to the temple, if you watch some of their behavior, you can get a glimpse of, you know, here's Krishna trying to wind up Mother Yashoda. And she puts Krishna down to attend to the milk, and Krishna becomes angry. When Krishna becomes angry, he takes a stone, breaks the butter pot, distributes it to the monkeys, you know, breaks the yogurt pot, throws everything all over the place, you know. And then Mother Yashoda gets angry with him. But that's actually part of the ras. That's what she wants. She wants him to misbehave. Krishna has many pastimes, but his favorite pastime is in pleasing his devotees. That's what he wants to do the most. He wants to please his devotees. So in that particular ras, in order for that ras to be complete, Krishna has to be misbehaved. Mother Yashoda has to get all upset with him. But if you notice here, it says she just chastises him mildly. One place it says that when Krishna saw the stick, he became very afraid and he began to cry. And Mother Yashoda said, oh, I shouldn't chastise my son too harshly. You know, we have to remember that Vrajadham in the spiritual world, it's an enormous village, almost unlimited in scope, unlimited in size. We have our families here because Krishna has his family. It's a real, Krishna consciousness is actually very family oriented. Krishna has his mother, he's got his father, you know. He's even got his brother, he's got Balaram, he's got his friends. These are the things we had when we were growing up. Mother, father, house, friends, the neighborhood. You know, go out on Saturday afternoon, play around, your mother comes out and shouts at you, come in the house, you know. Why? Because Krishna has the same things. Whatever Krishna has, we've also got, but in minute quantity and pervertedly reflected. So how to come to this perfectional stage of having this relationship with Krishna? We simply have to follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees. Pure devotee means what? Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is pure devotee. If we want to understand the life of a pure devotee, we study the life of Srila Prabhupada. From birth, Prabhupada was hearing about Krishna. Every step of Prabhupada's life was an act of devotion. And this is what we want. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that, my dear Lord, if I have to take another birth, at least let me become an insect in the house of your devotee. So I used to pray. I've changed my prayer, by the way. I used to pray that, please allow me to take birth in the house of a devotee. So I've changed that. And now my prayer is, please let me take birth in the house of a pure devotee. You know, why? Because we've seen a lot of our friends and, you know, so forth and so on. People take birth in families of devotees who are not so pure. And, you know, they have to really go through it, you know. Have to really go through hell, some of them. So I've changed my prayer. Please allow me to take birth in the house of a pure devotee. Of course, that's a very exalted position and requires some great, great, great mercy from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that mercy is available. Srila Prabhupada is the mercy incarnation of the Supreme Lord. They asked Prabhupada years ago, what's causeless mercy? They were on a morning walk in Los Angeles. And Srila Prabhupada said, if I reach in my pocket and I give you $1,000, right? And you say to me, why are you giving me this? Well, because I want to. Yeah, but why? Well, because I want to. Well, why are you giving it to me? Because I want to. That's causeless mercy. So by his causeless mercy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and says what? Come one, come all, chant Hare Krishna, qualification, disqualification. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who, what, when, where, how, or why you are, what you've been. Just come forward and chant the holy name. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and his pure devotee, they don't see caste, color, creed, nationality, or any of these things. They just see the soul. When, oh, when will that day be mine? When, oh, when will that day be ours? You know? Association of devotees is very powerful. Srila Prabhupada comments that in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, he says, association of devotees is the most important thing in the world. Why? I know for myself, as soon as I arrive at the temple and walk through the front door, I feel it immediately. You know, I feel all that lust, anger, greed, especially envy. It comes right to the surface, you know. And we come in and we're surrounded by all the devotees and looking at him and looking at her and, you know, thinking this about him and thinking that about her. It's the process is working, you know. All that stuff that's accumulated in our hearts for years together is forced right to the surface. Therefore, what are we advised to do? Krishna Matirastu, keep the mind on Krishna. I was thinking about this the other day. Why is it that we sometimes feel up and down, you know, in our bhakti? We feel up when our mind is on Guru and Krishna, and we feel down when the mind goes somewhere else, you know? So what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Wherever the mind goes, capture it and bring it back. I was mentioning earlier that the only real challenge we have is ourselves. And we have to step aside from ourselves and see the real self. The real self is the soul. And we have to see that in each other too. And if we're not able to see it, we need to practice. And by practicing, then eventually Krishna will give us the grace by which we can see like that. And of course, someday, Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki, someday, by the mercy of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga, we'll become qualified to enter into that personal relationship with Krishna. The Christians are always talking about that, aren't they? Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. They always say what? They say, we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Right? So, why not the devotees? Why can't we have a personal relationship with Krishna? Krishna has appeared before us in this form, this deity form, to allow us to render service, to get us in the mood of what? That here is a real person. We can have a real communication with him. We can have a real friendship with him. There's so many different relationships we can have with the Supreme Lord. It is a possibility. And this is the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes to bestow Vraj Prem on the devotees. Every morning the devotees are praying, what? Nikunja Yuno Rati Keli Sidhai. The spiritual master is always making tasteful arrangements for the divine couple to come together and enjoy. Whose service is that? If we think about it, in the spiritual world, whose service is it to make arrangements for the divine couple to come together and enjoy in the groves of Vrindavan? Nikunja Yuno Rati Keli Sidhai. That is the service of the Manjaris. That's our line, by the way. That's our Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Almost all of them, they're all Manjaris. What does that tell us about our destination? That should tell us quite a lot. Srila Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Sri Guna Manjari, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Rati Manjari, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Rasa Manjari, Srila Jiva Goswami, Vilas Manjari, Sanatan Goswami, Lavanga Manjari, and Rupa Goswami, you know, we're very proud to tell everyone we are Rupanugas, right? What does that mean? Followers in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. So to understand what that actually means, we have to know who Srila Rupa Goswami is. And who is he? Of course, Srila Rupa Goswami is none other than Sri Rupa Manjari herself. So whose footsteps are we following in? We're following in the footsteps of Sri Rupa Manjari. What happens if you follow in someone's footsteps? You go where they are, you become what they are. And Srila Prabhupada made it even more specific in later years. He said, follow in the footprints. Follow in the footprints means you put your foot exactly on the print of the person who went before you. And this is why so much emphasis is placed on the worship and respect for Srimati Radhika. You know, in Mayapur, we meet people, and what do they say? Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And we, most of us, we're still very much in that mood, you know, because this is a missionary society. But in Vrindavan, Prabhupada said, I heard in a lecture, Prabhupada said, in Vrindavan, you meet people, what will they say? Jaradhe. Is it possible they know something we don't? You know? And who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Who is he actually? He's the combined form of Radha and Krishna, but he's more Radha than he is Krishna. He's got her complexion, molten gold, right? And he comes not in the mood of Krishna, he comes in the mood of Radhika. And he manifests the most intense feelings of separation. At the end of his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested a kind of madness. His disciples had to lock him in a room, you know, because they thought he was going to wander out somewhere and hurt himself. And what was he doing in the end? He was banging his head up against the wall, scratching his face on the wall. Finally, by his mystic power, he unlocked the door and walked off and disappeared into the ocean at Jagannath Puri. You know, we are in a movement that's composed of madmen, mad people. Either someone goes mad materially or they go mad for Krishna. One or the other. One or the other. So we should understand that Krishna consciousness is not merely an academic exercise, but is the process for realizing God. It is the process for realizing that which we seek is within us. We don't have to look very far. That which we seek is already within us. Simply it needs to be what? Awakened. What's the awakening process for us? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If I could make a little suggestion, then we'll stop. Talk to Krishna. Make a relationship. Speak to the deity. I've read the Sankirtan and Nectar devotion. Prabhupada says that certain temples, people go and they write little things on a piece of paper and they leave it for the deity. But Prabhupada said one can actually speak with him. Go and speak to him. We can go. Radha Gokulananda are here. Gaunitai are here. Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman. Whoever you're drawn to the most, go and talk to them. In a very friendly way. You know? My dear Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, how was your day today? This is what happened for me. This is what's on my mind. What would you like me to do? What would you not like me to do? We can do the same thing with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is, as a matter of fact, Srila Prabhupada is more accessible now than he was when he was so-called embodied. Because he doesn't have that body keeping him in one place. When Prabhupada left this world, so-called, Satsvarup Maharaj wrote a nice article in Back to Godhead magazine describing that moment when it was clear to all the devotees that Prabhupada had departed. He said, at that moment, when it was clear to everyone that Prabhupada had left, he said it was unanimous in the entire room. He was still in charge. We could feel him. We could feel, you know, for the sincere devotee, the sincere devotee, it's like when Prabhupada came over on the Jaladuta, right? He said, all I had was the order of my spiritual master and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. What did he mean? He meant that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was personally present with him, guiding his every step, guiding his every movement. And Prabhupada is very approachable. Radha Gokulananda, very approachable. Krishna has different moods in different places, doesn't he? Like, for example, at Soho Street, everybody who goes there remarks how personal Sri Sri Radha Landanishwar are, how they really extend themselves and come forward and really let you know that they're really there, you know? Faith comes from experience. And if we don't have some experience, then we will have no faith. What is that experience we want? We want an experience of love. That's why we're here. I know a lot of people join the Krishna Conscious Movement for different reasons, but one of the main reasons I joined is because the devotees were so friendly and so nice. We actually feel love when we're in this family. So this is the family of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has yet again come back to retrieve us. So let's not let him down this time. Let's try to make this our last life if we can. Okay, we'll stop there. Any question?